All right, welcome back. This is a very important subject, and I have had the great honor over the years to spend a number of fascinating visits on the radio with Michael Roll from England. Michael is a one-man crusader, and I don't mean that in the religious sense. He is a champion of trying to lead all of us to a point of realization that this is not life as we know it, is not the only game in town, that there are some very viable and extraordinary alternatives to, as Michael says, lying dead, buried in the ground in a coffin, waiting for resurrection, and or other issues of organized religion and the dogma that they preach to their faithful. It's quite a story. We talk about ghosts. We talk about the afterlife. We talk about things here that many of you, I think, intuitively suspect as children, and those things are quickly drummed out of you by organized society, parents, and others who would seek to enslave, subjugate, control, and otherwise dominate the masses through these clubs of death, suffering, and utter obedience called organized religion, which can literally be blamed for the deaths of hundreds of millions of people over the last couple of thousand years, maybe more. Who knows? Who's counting? So let's go to England now and welcome back one extraordinary gentleman by the name of Michael Roll. Hello, Michael, and glad to have you back with me tonight.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Jeff. My 12th Jeff Rents broadcast.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow. You know, I remember way back in the beginning, the first one, I couldn't tell you what we talked about, but it was so arresting for people to hear what you had to say. We talked about Helen Duncan. We talked about all kinds of things, things you have seen, things you've experienced, which left people literally with their mouths agape, and certainly, if not physically, intellectually, they were
stunned.
It gives
people such hope, doesn't it?
Well, giving people hope in a world of hopelessness is it's a novel theme, and I predict a big future for it. But the powers that be certainly don't want us to think about these things.
They're absolutely terrified, the religious and scientific establishment.
They are.
We're up against a double whammy.
Indeed. We have also with us Mr. Steve Clark, standing by in England. I'd like, if you would, to introduce Steve. We'll bring him on now, and then I'm going to start talking about Mr. Tony Blair. And before all of you laugh, get ready to laugh even harder. Let's put it that way. So if you would introduce Steve Clark to us.
Yes, Jeff. Steve's one of many hundreds of thousands of people in England who have heard me broadcast on local radio. We're not allowed to broadcast on national radio. It's too tightly tied up by the mm-hmm. Religious Affairs Department. Mm-hmm. But they're losing their grip a bit on local radio, and Steve heard me on his local radio in Manchester, and he's actually one of the few people that gets off his backside and does something. He actually was so amazed to hear that it wasn't Marconi, for example, who invented radio. It was Sir Oliver Lodge. And he was so livid that he was being fed incorrect information by his teachers that he's actually done something. And he's got the encyclopedia changed, the wording of the encyclopedia. He proves to people that it was Sir Oliver Lodge that invented radio and not Marconi. This type of thing. We've been fed absolute rubbish by our teachers.
Well, the amusing thing for me often is to watch how history is literally being rewritten almost on a yearly basis now. It's changed a little bit here, a little bit there. And if you look back 20, 30 years at history books and then look at them today, well, the revisionists are actively at work. And I don't mean those kind that I support. These are other revisionists who seek to retool history to fit their needs. Now, if we might, let's say hello to Mr. Steve Clark. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you. Thanks for getting up very early this morning. I appreciate it.
That's not a problem. I've heard a lot about you.
Well, I guess it hadn't been all bad, or you wouldn't have gotten up.
That's true.
Now, if we might start with this, Michael Roll, Tony Blair, who is being showered with all kinds of useless titles but lots of money, recently converted to Catholicism. Now, this had a lot of people laughing, and many people are still laughing about it. So tell us, give us your take on Tony Blair becoming a Catholic.
Yes, well, the extraordinary thing is nobody seems to be spelling it out, what a Catholic is. For goodness sake, he's been a Catholic ever since he was born. He's been brainwashed by his parents and his teachers. What he has become is a Roman Catholic, as opposed to an Anglo-Catholic. Mm-hmm. That means he now recognizes the Pope as head of the Catholic Church instead of our Queen as head of the Catholic Church. He now recognizes the Pope as infallible, as God's representative on earth. It's quite pathetic. Why don't people just look up the word Catholic and find out what it means?
Mm-hmm.
It means the doctrines and dogmas that were invented at the Council of Nicaea in 325. 325 of the Christian era. Now you must ask yourself, what qualifications did these men who invented all these doctrines and dogmas have? They had nothing. They knew nothing whatsoever about the universe. They thought a red-hot ball of fire went round a flat earth every day. And these are the people whom men like Tony Blair are following, instead of our great scientists and philosophers who have gone on tremendously since 325 of the Christian era. That's all you've got to do. And as you know, Jeff, it's all on my website. It's now on your website with the article you've got called History Revisited.
Right.
And people can have a total alternative to this ridiculous nonsense of resting in peace, waiting for Judgment Day.
Right, right. The whole idea of organized religious clubs for people is maybe the most evil of mankind's creations as an allegedly sentient being, because it has been used to do nothing but kill and literally reshape the world, depending upon which club you're in and how strong militarily those clubs are. I don't know how many people have been slaughtered in the name of clubs, but who knows? It could be 100 million, a billion people. We just don't know.
Jeff, all you've got to do is follow the great founder of America, Thomas Paine, for goodness sake. He wrote the Age of Reason in 1793. It's all there for everybody to read, especially Americans, this great hero.
Well, he's literally unknown here. I hate to say it. I mean, we know his name, but very few people following his readings have ever come across my electronic desk. Except you. You're one of his great champions, and it's funny, but that's the way it is.
Well, yes, because he's so important to the Americans and their revolution, but they don't want people to know about him because he wrote this book, The Age of Reason. He challenged the priests, he challenged the mullahs, he challenged the rabbis.
Well, if he had been in England, they would have probably burned him at the stake.
He was wanted dead or alive, but it was the Americans who saved him. But they turned against him when he wrote The Age of Reason.
So the Roman Emperor Constantine, in 325, as you mentioned, called the First Council of Nicaea together.
And he called it because there were 150 different Christian sects all killing each other as hard as they could go in the Roman Empire.
Right.
They were tearing the empire apart.
Well, it was the first move toward the Western world, a one-world government, if you will.
That's right, and Constantine was the man. He was a very powerful dictator, and he caused this council where 500 bishops from across the whole of the Roman Empire met to form the doctrines and dogmas. That's what the word Catholic means, the universal doctrines and dogmas that were invented by these lunatics. No doubt other word for it. And
they wrote the story to fit their own agenda.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody who didn't believe it, what Constantine decided, was murdered.
Right.
And that plunged the whole world into the Christian Dark Ages.
Well, these purges have gone on again, as I've said, forever. There's no end to them. The Inquisition. How can any allegedly enlightened organization slaughter so many people? And continue to call themselves spiritual and holy and moral. I mean, it's beyond absurd.
In England, right up until Victorian times, it carried the death penalty to be an atheist. Carried the death penalty. That's why people like Thomas Paine had to call themselves a deist. Otherwise, they would have been murdered. Yeah.
So that was their out. I'm a deist.
Okay. Yeah, they had to say they were a deist. Otherwise, it carried the death penalty.
Mm. All right. Now, for those of you who think that unless you're in one of these clubs, you have no chance of getting into heaven and living in the afterlife, certainly stay tuned because we have much to say about that as we revisit some very important topics with Michael Roll. When we come back, we're going to talk to Steve Clark about his work trying to bring history into accord with the facts. We call that legitimate revisionism, and he has made a very important contribution. So we'll do that as we continue with Michael Roll and Mr. Steve Clark live from England in just a couple minutes. Clark, live from England. All right, young man, what was it?
Hi, Jeff.
What did you do, and when did you start causing trouble in life?
Oh, that's Michael Roll's fault.
I see.
He gave me some fascinating information some years ago, and I was always kind of interested in this subject matter, but, you know, I thought to myself, the time that I met Michael, it's time that I put some of these things to the test, because there's so much information out there that's being suppressed. I thought, well, I'm going to test the water with this one, because one of the things at that time was I was in a store where I live looking at some books. And I remember Michael saying to me, did you know that the inventor of radio is not Marconi? It's this chap called Sir Oliver Lodge. Well, I was brought up like, at school, like everybody else, to believe just Marconi was the inventor of radio. I'd never even heard of this chap called Oliver Lodge.
Now, that's an amazing statement, because you're British.
Yeah.
And Oliver Lodge is, without question, one of the giants of the last century. And
exactly.
You didn't even know anything about him.
I'd never heard his name, Jeff, in all of my schooling.
Unbelievable. You see, I'm beginning to think, Michael, that there is more information hidden than there is that we know about. I mean, it's not a minority. I think the majority of truth in history is hidden from us.
The bottom line is that Sir Oliver Lodge was the inventor of radio, and Sir William Crookes was one of the great pioneers of television. They understood about invisible forces that are real. Reality exists in the invisible. That's why they've been written out of our history books.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that in just a couple more minutes in more detail, and the work of Ron Pearson as well. All right, so go ahead with your story, Steve Clark.
Yes, so what happened, Jeff, is I was looking in these encyclopedias at the time, and I remember thinking what Michael had told me. And, curiosity got the better of me, and I looked under the section of radio invention, and there it was, Marconi, inventor of radio. Absolutely no mention whatsoever of Lodge in anywhere in the encyclopedia on anything. So I thought, I'm going to write to these people. So I wrote to Darling Kindersley in London, the publishers of the encyclopedia, and I pointed out to them that my understanding is that Sir Oliver Lodge was the first person in 1894, 14th of August, he was the first person to ascend a signal at that time. And I couldn't believe it, Jeff, when they wrote back. And I actually have the letter here in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenged this, and this was the reply. Dear Mr. Clark, thank you very much for your letter about the Darling Kindersley Science Encyclopedia. It is very important for us to get feedback from readers. I am sorry that you felt the encyclopedia was inaccurate. we have to say you are perfectly correct.
Huh.
Oliver Lodge did give the first practical demonstration of wireless telegraphy. Then he went on to say, in our books with limited space, we try to give the basic simplistic story in the hope of interesting the child enough to go on to investigate the subject further. However, we would not want to mislead, and maybe the paragraph on Marconi, therefore, should be reworded for future editions. We do apologize.
Well, that's not a small victory, getting history again corrected. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you.
That's excellent. Oliver Lodge. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, it's a tremendous victory, but people can check this out. It's very important people do their own checking, and all they have to do is go to the website where my webmaster, who's in Germany, came all the way to England and took a photograph of this proof. It's at the Oxford University in the lecture theatre there, on the very spot where Sir Oliver Lodge did this first broadcast, and there's a plaque, and my webmaster has taken a photograph of this plaque, proving that Steve Clark is absolutely correct. And so they can all check it out on the website.
Thank goodness
for the internet.
I sent them a copy of that photograph, Michael.
Oh, you did? Yes, good.
Yeah. I hope that they may have published that, but they backed down on that one.
Yeah.
I think the point was made, but nonetheless, they did change it, which was, you know, amazing for an encyclopedia publishing company to do that. It really made me think, just what else are
and
they
then
hiding?
Then people can go on to read Sir Oliver Lodge's article on my website, The Mode of Future Existence.
Uh-huh.
His take on life after death, written in 1933. That's who we should have been following all this time.
Yeah, well, had we followed Crookes and Lodge, we'd be in such a different place now. Of course, there'd be
the
no controllers would not have their machines to control
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah.
They'd have to have something else. These two men, and this is a bit of a little history journey for all of us tonight, Sir Oliver Lodge, Sir William Crookes, two of the absolute giants of the 1900s. We just don't hear their names at all unless we really get into history and begin to delve into who was really these people were the movers and shakers, and they were marginalized. They were all but obliterated because of their work in studying the invisible part of the universe. Oliver Lodge, noted for his work on what was called the ether. Now, explain, Michael, for our listeners who are first-timers, we're going to take a break when we come back, what the ether is, what the invisible part of the universe is, as Lodge saw it. And then we'll talk about William Crookes as well. This is very important work. And we'll do that in just a couple minutes with Michael Roll and Steve Clark. Back with Michael Roll and Steve Clark in England. Michael Roll's work over the years, extraordinary. Please click on his name, go to his website, and take a look around. There's an awful lot of fascinating material there. Scientific proof abounds that there is life after death, and then some. There's all kinds of things. Organized religion, of course, would have us think otherwise, hold all of that as ransom, so to speak. We have to buy our way there, obey to the last, or we're not going to make it. And even then, it is, of course, something that they define and outline in their own methods, which serves their purposes. They have their own agendas, but there's so much more to this. Oliver Lodge talked about the ether, and for that, he was marginalized and pretty well broomed out of the history books. What, Michael Roll, is the ether? How do we describe it? And what was the great Ron Pearson's contribution to understanding all this? He actually came up with a mathematical formula, by the way, which proved what we're talking about. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, the ether, let's keep it incredibly simple, Jeff. The ether is the spiritual part of the universe that the religionists talk about. That's the one thing they are correct about. There is a soul that separates from the dead physical body.
But they have the keys to get into that particular kingdom, and they're not going to let you in unless you play ball their way, right?
That's right. Well, what they don't like is that us atheists also survive death. Us atheists flatly refuse to grovel before any priest, mullah, or rabbi. But we survive death just the same as everybody else. And, of course, that really upsets them. And their great ally, of course, is Orthodox science. Mm-hmm. Because all the time, Orthodox science, across every discipline, is screaming from the rooftops, when you're dead, you're dead. Now, that suits the priests, the mullahs, the rabbis, down to the ground. Because it makes them, Jeff, the only alternative. So between them, the religionists and materialists, they've done away with the ether. Because they realize how dangerous it was to them. If people actually discovered that Sir Oliver Lodge was right, that that's the most important force in the universe.
It's the subatomic part of the universe, if you will.
It's the power that behind everything, behind suns and galaxies. Everything is coming from the invisible part of the universe, the spiritual part of the universe, if you like, and that's where we come from and return to. It's everything.
Right. Spirit defined not as something of a mental paradigm. Spirit defined as a physical part of the universe.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right. This is crucial to understand.
Yes, and people will understand it when they start to read the books that the establishment are praying they don't come across. Let me quote you, the most important quote from Einstein, the great sacred cow of science, Einstein is.
Well, he sure is.
Now, this is what he says. I don't believe that the individual survives the death of his body, although feeble souls harbor such thoughts through fear or ridiculous egotism. That's in the New York Times, April the 19th, 1955. Mm. And that's the basis of all scientific teaching. When you're dead, you're dead. But, Jeff, there's been a big breakthrough. Professor Meg Urey of the Department of Physics at Yale University, she's just taken over there, and she is... And scientists across the world, thank goodness, are now bringing back the ether. They realize the terrible mistake. The force of gravity is the force of the ether. It's the force of the spiritual part of the universe. And they're bringing it back under a new name because they're so embarrassed about getting rid of the ether, the most important scientific force ever. They're bringing it back under new names like the quantum energy of the vacuum or dark energy, as Professor Meg Urey uses.
Funny how they'd use the word dark in there, isn't it?
Yeah, dark energy. That's only the ether being brought back. And at last they're recognizing that that's where everybody should be working from.
Lodge studied. Now, here's a man with advanced degrees in physics and several other areas. He studied life after death. He began studying psychical phenomenon in the late 1880s. After his son Raymond was killed in World War I in 1915,
yeah.
Lodge visited, a number of psychics and wrote about the experiences in a number of books. So you might tell us more about Lodge, and we'll talk about Crookes as well. But, Steve, do you have anything you want to chime in here with now about this whole subject?
I just think what Michael's saying about these scientific experiments, I've heard him talk about this before. I mean, these possibilities, Jeff, are very exciting. I mean, it allows us to see ourselves basically in a powerful new light by offering us something beyond faith upon which to base our new beliefs.
Well, it does, Steve, what it does, you're right, it completely liberates us from all of the BS down here that is designed to keep us enslaved.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jeff, if I could climb in, it's very important to try and move away from the word psychic. It's got the wrong connotations. There's too many frauds calling themselves psychics.
Business.
Yeah, just hit them with mediums. They're mediums. They're linked between our physical world and the etheric world. the spiritual part of the universe.
So call forget psychic, we'll call them mediums.
There's so many rip-off artists, especially in this country now, charging a fortune for so-called readings, when they should be following people like John Edward, the great American medium. He's a medium, not a psychic. Try and get rid of that dreadful word.
Very good. All right, we will. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, we'll get rid of it. It's just, well, the story of life after death, we should be looking at it, as Michael said before, and people like Ron Pearson, as a branch of physics. This is a hard thing for people to look into. It always seems to make people be wary of it or somehow think it's complicated, but it's not. Once you start to look at this in this light, it is easy to actually adapt to that way of thinking. Your mind will free up. It's just that we've been clogged up in our upbringing to believe in supernatural absurdities. We've all gone through certain schooling. We've seen it on, you know, TV. We see how this has developed over the years. And it opens up fantastic possibilities. The whole thing is just an absolutely amazing subject.
Michael Roll's experience with materializing mediums is extraordinary. Define for our new, we have so many new friends listening, Michael. We need to go back and talk about mediums and materializing mediums, what they could do. And the experiments, by the way, of Crookes especially, all the photographs that were taken. And this, Crookes was the absolute giant of the world. Crookes was as famous as Einstein ever was, and maybe even more famous. So just to give you an idea.
Absolutely. He was no less than president of the Royal Society, the most prestigious scientific body
in the world.
And he was made president after he published his findings, after he proved survival.
Okay, now that's a key point. The man was literally named president of the most prestigious, powerful scientific association in the world after he published his findings of life after death. It's a story that is extremely important and never gets talked about, except on this program and local radio in some smaller areas of the UK. But thank goodness it gets on that much. Michael Roll's website is clickable from his name at rents.com. He's got some great material there to read. The Scientific Proof of Life After Death by Michael Roll. There are many books there to read. Back in just a minute as we continue. Astonishing experiments in the laboratory that were conducted well over 100 years ago would warrant attention today. I think these things are coming back. The study of a collective unconscious and superconsciousness and all the rest of it. By the way, some of the major magazines are beginning now to acknowledge that things like remote viewing and psi abilities do exist. So the doors are beginning to be pushed open, but it's funny, they're being pushed open to work that was done in the 1870s and 1880s and around that time. The experimental proof of survival after death was established, was done in laboratories repeatedly, and published in the Quarterly Journal of Science in 1874 by Sir William Crookes. It's an amazing story. Michael, go ahead and tell us about materialization mediums. And mediums in general. Mediums are, let's come up with a, we don't want psychics. Mediums, okay. What can mediums do? They're simply a bridge to the etheric world, yes?
You've covered it perfectly. That's all they are. As soon as people die, they're so, the bond of love, you see, Jeff, is all so strong. And as soon as somebody dies, the first thing they want to do is tell their loved ones back on Earth that they're alive. And that's the only way they can do it. They've got to find a medium. because the human mind and brain is an incredible machine, as you know, far more powerful than anything invented by men and women. Mm-hmm. And that's how they can do it.
But they have to find a legitimate medium, not a crook, because everybody knows what people want to hear, and it's too easy to fleece the grieving of their money.
For goodness sake, don't be gullible. And if you go to a medium and they don't make contact with your loved one, for goodness sake, don't pay them. Genuine mediums won't mind that condition. Say, no, I'm not going to pay you because you haven't made contact, you haven't given me any proof that my loved one's still alive, and walk out of the door. But don't part with money, for goodness sake, any more than a few dollars. And then genuine mediums, I say, won't mind at all. Then you can tune into people like John Edward. He's doing wonderful work. I don't think I'm knocking mental mediumship. I'm only pushing materialization mediums because they're the ones that can give the proof of survival, whereas mental mediums give very good evidence. But what the establishment don't want people to find out is that there are very few mediums around called materialization mediums, and they can give the proof. Because all five of our senses are working at one of these experiments. And that's what Sir William Crookes came across in the 1870s. He came across one of these mediums.
Okay, now the name of the young girl that he found who could do this.
Just a young girl, 16 years old, Florence Cook, and she had this incredible ability, something in her chemistry that enables her to do this. When she goes into a trance, people from the invisible part of the universe not only speak, but they don't actually speak through her. They speak separately from her. She's in the corner of the room in a deep trance, and people can actually fully materialize and walk around the room and come up and talk to us in their voices they had on Earth. That's the crushing proof of survival. And, of course, Sir William Crookes made a very careful study of this, and he brought in a scientific team.
Right. What you're saying here is Sir William Crookes, again, the giant of the 19th century, was able to see this, observe this, record this, take photographs of it over and over again with the 16-year-old materialization medium. Now, this young girl was able to, I guess, that somehow the energy of the materialization medium is put at the disposal of those on the other side, and they're not so far away, and they use that material, that energy, etheric energy, if you will, from the materialization medium to create their own image again in our three-dimensional world. So the five senses of the people in the room are able to see and to interact with that three-dimensional recreation of what that person looked like in what we call life.
Yes, they can duplicate the old physical body, including fingerprints. That's how accurate it is.
That's not a joke, because that was I forgot the exact experiment now, but those fingerprints were found.
Yes, so John Logie Baird, another pioneer of television, reports in his book a colleague of his, a scientific colleague of his, took fingerprints of somebody who materialized and compared those prints to the prints on the dead physical body, and they were identical. Now, that would have been good enough to hang people, certainly in England, and probably in America now.
So what we had basically with Sir William Crookes was a 16-year-old materialization medium who was able to allow people from the other side to take on what was their physical form here to demonstrate that they were just fine. And how many experiments did Sir William Crookes conduct? How long of a period of time, Michael, approximately? And they were, I guess, scores of photographs taken.
Yes, he took about 40 photographs, but he invited his scientific colleagues in to witness. This is the most important scientific experiment in the history of science. Nothing more important than proving survival, because we're all going to die. And nearly a year of repeatable experiments under laboratory conditions, he felt safe enough to publish in the Quarterly Journal of Science, which he did.
1874,
and that threw the whole scientific world into turmoil.
Now, during this time, and this would have been Victorian England, I guess, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
What did they call it back then? Parlor psychics, parlor mediums?
Oh, yeah, then the...
That was the big form of entertainment all throughout Europe.
That's right.
In that period of time. And there were some very, very talented people at work during that. There were some frauds and shysters. Probably the majority of them were, too. But all kinds of things were going on. Who was the one? David, what was his name?
Hume?
David Hume.
Yes, he was another one that was looked into very carefully. But it's the ones that can go into trance and then our loved ones can fully materialize that really count. And as you know, I witnessed one of these myself, far more advanced than the one that Sir William Crookes worked with, because he only had one person fully materializing.
Now, the pictures that Crookes took under laboratory conditions were at first, I guess, viewed with skepticism, and then they were mocked. And later on, Crookes himself, of course, was expunged from mainstream science for his work and his discoveries.
But they had to wait till he died. They couldn't attack him when he was alive. He was too big a
too
scientist.
Big.
Yeah, so as soon as he died in 1919, that's when the whole of the establishment came down on him like a ton of bricks. He's come back to us now as a liar, a cheat, a crank, a fraud, and they've also tagged on that he was a sex maniac, having an affair with the medium he worked with.
Pretty.
Which was an absolute lie, because his wife took part in most of the experiments anyway.
Yeah.
Who he loved dearly.
Again,
and at the end of his life, his wife actually fully materialized, giving him the personal crushing proof of survival.
I didn't know that.
Yes, very much so. So it's on my website.
Steve, have you been to many mediums in your research at all?
No, I have not. I haven't done that, actually, Jeff. But I have spoken with many people, of course, that have. And again, like Michael said, you've got to be careful where you go to seek certain information, because there are charlatans out there. But what you will know when you found the right one, it will mean something, obviously, to you.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of, skepticism from somebody else is going to throw that person. If something means something to you that only, you would know about, then you won't be thrown from that. So you'll know you've met the right medium. I made a mention to you before, Jeff, about the Oliver Lodge I went through school in. I'd never heard of his name.
Hard to believe. That's like, if I might say this, Steve, that's like any of you listening going through your school educational protocol here all the way through high school and never hearing the name of Albert Einstein. That's literally the same thing. That's how big Lodge was, and he was literally vacuumed from British education.
I mean, there's another chap, Michael will know, of course, who this is, Arthur Finlay, with his fantastic book, The Curse of Ignorance, in 1947. Being in the music business, I've worked with, many different people all over the place, and I worked with a young lad who was from Scotland, and, of course, he went through his schooling up there, and we had this conversation about scientists, that were suppressed with what they were doing. And I mentioned Arthur Finlay to him, and he said, I've gone through schooling in Scotland, I've never heard the guy's name. So it was the same thing for him in Scotland as it was for me.
Amazing.
About Oliver Lodge, where I live. And to me, I can't help but think it was a carefully orchestrated plan to eliminate these fantastic people out of our history books, as Mike said many times. Sir William Crookes carried out these repeatable experiments, and it got the same results. Other scientists throughout the world, Gustav Geely, Glenn Hamilton, the Canadian scientists, these people did the same experiments and got the same results.
And Professor Charles Richer from France, a Nobel laureate for medical science.
Nobel Prize winner Charles Richer from France did it as well. And I would put this on the table for you. We don't have time to really take you on an extensive history journey tonight, but do some research on Sir William Crookes, C-R-O-O-K-S, and look into his work, and you will find on the Internet the photographs that were taken in his laboratory with the young lady who did the materializing, the mediumship. And when we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to have Michael Roll tell us about his personal experiences seeing dead people come back to life through the work of a materializing medium. And we're talking, was it your father that you saw, wasn't it, Michael?
That's the one that gave me the personal proof, like Sir William Crookes got the personal proof when his wife materialized.
Right. Yeah, we'll be talking about that shortly, too. So stay tuned, and we'll come right back. Michael Roll and Steve Clark are with us. And so the bottom line is, death is not the end. And the most terrible feeling, I guess, a human being is subjected to in life, Michael, is the grief of the loss of a loved one, is it not?
Yeah, we're trying to take that away.
There's no reason for that. And what we'll do is continue to develop this conversation with Michael Roll. And remember, Ron Pearson's work came up with a mathematical formula to really explain all of this. Fascinating. The ether, the subatomic part of the universe, where we all come from, apparently, and where we all go. And yes, the soul remains intact, so does the personality. And love remains the strongest bond of all. And we'll be back.